He is alive. You know, I'm amazed when I look at what happened between Palm Sunday and Easter. I'm amazed. How could people who are shouting and cutting down branches and worshiping the Lord, how can they in 1 week be shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him"? How crazy are these people? By the way, there's sermon notes. If you like filling in blanks, there's sermon notes there inside the worship folder. Yet, okay, it's now 1 week after Easter. Okay? Christ arose, it's 1 week after Easter. And my question is, did we live like he's alive? Did we live like it? Do we live like it? Or are we just like those chuckleheads? Chris is not here with his little kids, and the kids have been dismissed, so it's okay for me to use chucklehead now. So this every week we look at this. Jesus said just after his baptism, just as Brother Bob said there, you know, we can do nothing on our own. We really can't. We must have the filling of the Holy Spirit. We must have that. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And he said, it's to your benefit that I go to the Father. I will send the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us. It's the Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus. Jesus repeatedly said, the Son can do nothing by himself. We can do nothing by ourselves except make a mess. Anyone here good at making a mess? By the way, I did the dishes this morning, Jen, so that the sink wouldn't be full of dishes. So I'm good at making a mess, but I did do the dishes this morning before I came to church. So here's what Jesus said after the Holy Spirit came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. This is Jesus speaking. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then at the end of his ministry, and he kept saying, I'm breathing on you the Holy Spirit. And then he said, wait to the disciples. Wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be empowered. But you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. By the way, we're all witnesses. It's just, the question is, are we good ones or bad ones? Okay, we're all witnesses. People are watching. And so Jesus said to the disciples and to us, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And of course, we play with this word, which it means, therefore. By the way, the reason why I don't use three dots anymore is because we were having problems between computers getting that to work. So we went with ergo. The Spirit of the Lord is upon because he is anointed to preach good news to the poor. He has sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And now let's make this personal, and I will slow down. Can we all please read this together? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Who do you know that needs set free? You know, I still remember, and I've told this story before, I still remember being a diesel mechanic, and diesel mechanics are not the nicest people in the world, okay? They're a little bit foul-mouthed, along with truckers and fishermen and all that kind of stuff, and I know you guys face those people, but I still remember one of my first assignments was the furnace was condemned in the building, and my foreman knew that I was kind of a jack of all trades and master of none. He said, do you know how to fix a furnace? I said, I can fix anything, man. So this furnace was so big, I literally could crawl inside of it. And so it was like they had an estimate of $500,000 to repair this thing. So I went in, took the brick out, relaid all the brick, rebuilt the whole thing. But I found myself eating lunch in there too. Because when I went to the lunchroom, oh my goodness, porn was everywhere, the talk. They used words I never even heard of before. I had to look up the words. I mean, I literally didn't know what they were talking about. And I think they intentionally said it to me. So hence, here I am, sitting in the furnace room, reading my Bible, you know, hiding from them. Is that what Jesus said? Did he say, go hide? Go be salt and light in the furnace room and hide, you wimp? No, no, no. And again, please hear me. You know, eventually, over time, as those guys noticed me and that I was different, I acknowledge I'm different, okay? And I make no apology about that. Now, some of the differences are just Jeff. The other differences are the Holy Spirit, and I hope you see the Holy Spirit differences, and not just Jeff differences. But those guys were full of darkness. And the Holy Spirit just said, what are you doing in here? What are you doing in this furnace room? What are you doing in here eating your lunch? Sick them. Now, not to hit them over the head with the Bible, but just be salt and light. And eventually, every one of those mechanics, God somehow got them one-on-one with me working on something. And eventually, they asked me, man, you're different. You're weird. What is it about you? You know, I wouldn't cheat. I wouldn't steal. I'd work hard. I'd do whatever they asked. I was a good, you know, Dad said that, you know, a workman is worthy of his hire. And eventually they would, after they said, slow down, you know, you're making us look bad. Slow down. You're weird. Why are you so weird? Why are you working so hard? Because I'm doing it as unto the Lord. That's the way I was raised. And I literally was doing it as unto the Lord. But at first, I wanted nothing to do with all that darkness. Good grief. But what did Bob and Cheryl, what did God reveal to them? They went up on the mountain and they looked down over the city. They were praying, Lord, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? And God said, right there in the darkness, I want to send you into the darkness. And so, where's darkness around you? I told you, the guy that fixes my furnace, I really like him. First time I met him, he just said, look, dude, I'm an atheist agnostic. Are you good on a furnace? Are you good at your work? I don't care if you're an atheist. Now, normally, I know I might be a little bit crazy, but I'm drawn to people like that. I like people like that. He just says it out front, and I want to be his friend. Because I want Jesus to flow through me and touch his life. And I pray for him. You know, I have 7 stop signs on the way here. And I'm asking you, every time you go to a stop sign, please stop. Please stop and think of someone. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal who you should pray for. I pray for him every day on the way to the church. Because of the stop sign, I stop and I pray for him. You know, normally, you would just ignore the furnace guy, right? You let him in and then you go about your own thing. I don't do that. Hey, what do you need? You want something to drink? You have lunch yet? Can I take you out to lunch? Hey, you need a tool? He probably thinks I'm a pest. But every time they send him to my house, I think that he asks. I'm assuming it. And when I go there to pay the bill, I say, you know what? His name begins with an M. M is a great dude. Thank you for sending your best to me. He's darkness. He's living in darkness. He needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ to be set free. My natural, when I was younger, was because who knows what's going to come out. Now, hey, we've been sent into the darkness. They need the truth of Jesus Christ. And it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit and Jesus in us, abiding in us, and then them flowing through us. I know that many of us are terrified that we might have to tell our testimony or something. I'm telling you, don't worry. Just be yourself. Let Jesus and the Holy Spirit be in you and flow through you. He'll give you words to say, and if you don't have any words to say, just say, man, that's a great question. I've never heard that before. I'll get back to you. It's a great question. I'll get back to you. Capiche? I don't even know what that means. Capiche? You understand? All right, I got the school teacher here that's helping me out. That's why he sits in the front row to keep me straight. So with that in mind, that's the mini message. That's the message before the message. With that in mind, all we need to do, I'm telling you, all we really need to do is walk in intimacy with God. And when others see it, we simply invite them to do the same. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So Jesus is alive. If you see that color underlined and that font, there's my pointer. That means there's blanks in your sermon notes. If you happen to be taking sermon notes, that means there's blanks there. Do we live like it? Do we live like Jesus is alive? And again, please know, I don't do it 24/7. I want to, but I'm not there yet. I'm still on a journey. Okay? So I felt led of the Lord to lead us in this direction. Now, I could hit you over the head and make you feel guilty, but that is not the goal of this. This is not a guilt message, okay? But here, let's see what the Lord spoke through the Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do we know that? Do not be deceived. Now, this is just really important. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders. Now, let's just stop here for a second. No, let's keep on going, and then we'll come back. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. I would argue some of us still are. Let's just back up here. Neither the sexually immoral, any kind of sexual deviant behavior, anything. Idolaters. No one here is not an idolater. No one here has not committed some form of idolatry. Idolatry is simply spiritual adultery. Does anyone here love your... Do not raise your hands. No one raise your hands on this rascal, okay? No one raise your hand. But who here loves your kids more than you love God? Who here loves your spouse more than you love God? Who here loves your retirement plan more than you love God? Who here loves fishing or hunting more than you love God? When the two conflict, which wins? Who here loves sports more than God when the two come in conflict? You know, if the Steelers were playing right now and winning and it was a Super Bowl, would you be here or home watching? Now, this is not to guilt us. I'm not intending for guilt. But please realize, all of us have idols. Some of us might even have an idol that the church grows. I'm telling you, it's so sneaky. Idolatry is simply spiritual adultery. Or adulterers, or male prostitutes. Now, this is one that we tend to camp on as in the evangelical church. Homosexual offenders. It is a sin. It is a sin. It is a sin. It is a sin. But it's no more of a sin than any of these other things. It's no more of a sin than anything else. See, here's what we tend to do. Things that we don't wrestle with, we condemn even more. And it gets even worse. Thieves or the greedy. Man, why do you stick greedy in there? Hey, I made brownies this week, and kids didn't eat any of them. I even bought some Breyers ice cream and chocolate. There's no chocolate left. Greedy. Why do you have to put greedy in there? I'm sure none of you are greedy. Guys, if there's two pieces of pie and there's one bigger and one smaller, which one do you take? Now, we can only confess our sins, not anyone else's here, okay? Or drunkards, or slanderers. Now, I slandered someone this morning. I was teasing. And yet, while we were praying, when worshiping, I slandered someone. Was it truth? Yes. Was I teasing? Yes. But technically, even if it's true, but it's in a negative way, that's slander. I've heard so many times people say, well, if the person was here, I'd say it to their face. No, that's still slander. Grandma was right. If you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. Philippians says, if it's not edifying, if it's not building up, if it's not praiseworthy, if it's not excellent, don't say it. Philippians 4, 7 and 8, just don't say it. But I'm telling you, and I've wondered this. I've shared this with these guys up front, more than just my spit usually. You know, how come teasing is always negative? How come it's always negative? I don't get it. I've been trying to think of how to tease in a positive way, but I haven't figured it out yet. So, thieves or greedy or drunkards or slanderers nor swindlers. Now, someone bought a car from me here. Two people have in this church so far. Terrifies me. Never sell to a friend. Okay? Because you know that piece of junk's going to break down at some point. I buy high and sell low intentionally because I don't want to be a swindler. In one of my churches, someone said, you know, you're just like a used car salesman. You sell Jesus. I'm like, oh, man, just stab me five times and back over. Good googa mooga. But I realized, wow. There might be a little bit of truth to that. Now, Jesus is the real deal. He's the real deal. But all I'm trying to say is, and do not raise your hand, but can any of us get through these two lists unscathed? I don't think we can. I know I can't. And yet, if I don't have a problem with it, I tend to make that sin even bigger. And that is sin. Are you with me? And then, what is he saying? And that is what some of you were. Please, let's not judge one another. I know Scripture says judgment begins in the house of the Lord. I believe that people in spiritual authority, leaders, that's their role to be fruit inspectors. For us, we're not to. We're not to. Now, if you see a brother or sister caught in sin, gently go to them, Galatians 6. But then he ends, beware lest you too fall into the same temptation. Sorry, I keep walking forward and you guys disappear. It's because you guys have halos up there, and I don't like looking at halos. I'm teasing. Here, for once, let's be thankful that in the text there is a big but. Is that big enough? Anyone see that but? But. And now here's the good news. Here's what is really important. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. That stuff's back there. You've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Now to further prove it, 1 John 5. This is a testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Is that cool? But again, and notice how big the print is. There is no magic prayer. I've run into so many people. They got one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel, or one in the banana peel and one in the grave, however it goes. Well, when I was a teenager, I went forward at camp and I'm a Christian. There is no magic prayer. There is through prayer when we genuinely mean it, because God looks at the heart. And the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, and we're made born again. We're transformed from the inside out. Again, let's just look at this. You were those things, but now you are what? Washed, sanctified, justified. So let's just take a closer look at what each of these big words mean. Washed. What does it mean to be washed? I washed the dishes this morning, yes, because Jen was coming home, and I didn't want her to see the mess, the pigsty that Ben and I actually could live in and be comfortable with. We're washed. As believers, we are washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made clean so that when the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus. We've been made clean. Here's Hebrews 4, 11 forward. When Christ came as a high priest of the good things, came as high priest of the good things that were already here, he went through a greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. So Jesus came here as our high priest. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by the means of blood, the blood of goats and calves. Now you guys know why I can't read, why I don't like reading, because I can't read. I'm not a good reader. So here's the story. In the Old Testament, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So what would happen? God set it up so that they would sacrifice animals, bulls, goats, sheep, and then that blood would be sprinkled over the people, and outwardly they would be made clean. But Jesus, when John saw Jesus coming, he said, behold the Lamb of God. God became a man, became the Lamb of God, so that he died, he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood. There wasn't the blood of goats and lambs, there was the blood of Jesus Christ himself, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of bulls and goats and ashes and heifers sprinkled on those who were ceremonially unclean sanctified them so that they were outwardly clean. So how much more then will the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? So all of the Old Testament was looking forward to Jesus. And they had all these. Can you imagine all the work that the priests had to do sacrificing all those lambs and then sprinkle the blood? You'd sprinkle the blood on people and over things. But it only made them outwardly clean, not their heart. Not their heart. It was, they went through all that, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, but it was all outward. When Jesus came and died, when his blood is applied to us, when we repent and put our full trust in Jesus Christ alone, that blood is sprinkled over all of us, and we're transformed from the inside out. It's not just the inside. That's the good news. That's why Jesus is the perfect high priest. He has perfect intimacy with God, and he knows what everything we go through. It says he was tempted in all points like we are. Anyone tempted this week to do anything stupid? Jesus was tempted, yet he didn't give in to it. He didn't eat the whole thing of brownies. And if he did eat some, he shared. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He was perfect and holy as a human. He was the God-man. So he knows what it's like. He understands when we fall. In fact, when I was younger, I used to think, how can he even understand my temptation? Because how does God get tempted? And then C.S. Lewis says, you know, when you're tempted, you resist, you resist, you resist, you resist, you resist, and then sometimes we give in to it. Jesus was tempted, 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 tempted all the way through the whole thing and never, ever gave in. So he's actually the only one that knows what it is really like to be totally tempted. Does that make sense? That's C.S. Lewis. I'm like, oh my goodness, that makes so much sense. How come I didn't think of that? Because I don't have his brain. Is C.S. Lewis making sense through me? He's the only one that knows. He knows exactly what you're going through when you're tempted because he went through the whole thing and yet did not give in. So he's the only one that can really empathize with you. And he's the one that's sitting at the right hand of the Father when you're being tempted. He's defending you before the Father. Dad, I know what that's like. I know how hard it is for them. And when we blow it, he says, they're mine. I died for them. And most of us, I'm getting ahead of myself, this is all free, by the way. That means it wasn't in the... And now I already forgot what it was. Oh, well. I shouldn't say that. Sanctified. What does it mean to be sanctified? It means set apart. This is just so important. All of these words, these words are very important. We've been washed. We've been sanctified. Sanctified simply means that we were here for kind of common use, and now we're set apart. We're set apart from common use, everyday use, and we're sanctified to be used of God. The temple is the greatest example of this in Scripture. So you had goblets and all kinds of things in the Holy of Holies that, you know, they were never used out in public for common use. They were set apart from that. They were made just for this, for use in the temple. And that's what we are. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart. We've been separated from sin and dedicated to the Lord for his use. And here's a passage that talks about that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Does he want to do all of it? Through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love the next verse. The one who called you is faithful. And who will do it? Who will do it? How good are you at doing it? Yeah. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. He's the one that can empower us. He's the only one that can. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And what I think he meant by that is you can sin. You can make a mess. You can have all kinds of dirty dishes. But if it's of eternal significance, he's the one that will do it in us if we will let him. And then the last word that's in there is justified. And yes, that's a blank in your sermon notes if you're taking them or using them. Justification or justified is a legal term in a court of law. It means to be made as though we have never sinned. In the eyes of the law, I have 2 points on my record. I'm not justified yet. I got 2 points. A little town south of here, I had my cruise control set when he stopped me. Did you know you're speeding? No, I had my cruise set on 65. It's 50 here. Oh, I was speeding then. And he said, what are you? I said, I'm a pastor. I'm guilty. I was not justified. I have 2 points still, and I earned them. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the finished work of Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We stand in his grace, God's unmerited favor. And now here's the next one. But what if we blow it? Now here's one you can raise your hand. Do you know what I mean by blow it? How many blew it this week? Well, we got a few honest people. I'm going to raise both hands on that rascal. Here's what we do when we blow it. Confession. And I'm going to go to 1 John 1:9 and beyond 1:9, because what he says beyond that is so important. If we confess our sins, he is the one that is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Is that a good deal? All I have to do is confess the known sin that the Holy Spirit convicts me of. Not only do I get that forgiven, I get everything else forgiven. That is so cool. Now, if we claim that we've not sinned, anyone know anyone like that? I know a couple people like that. They think they've never sinned. What's the Bible say? We make out Jesus to be a liar, and his word has no place in our life. I'm going to get in trouble. The only reason the Pope thinks he's perfect is that boy's not married. Somehow we got to blot that out, okay? I don't know how. If we claim that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. We're lying. We're lying. But it gets even better. My dear children, my dear, John is writing, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. I don't want to sin, but I do. But, here's another but, a beautiful but. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. I'm sure he's going to say, when I get there, do you know how many times I had to defend you, boy? You know how many angels you wore out? Jesus, the righteous one, he's there. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. I write this so that you don't sin, but if you do, we have an advocate, Jesus. Confession. Confess it and let him cleanse us and forgive us. Is that good news? Now, here's where I started to go. I jumped ahead of myself. He is the atonement. He's the atoning sacrifice for us. And what does that mean? God's anger, all of God's anger. You know, my mom regularly said, Mom, I love you. You're the perfect mom for me. My mom often said, wait till your dad gets home. Anyone ever hear that one? Wait till your dad gets home, which meant he's going to kick your butt. He's going to tan your hide. My grandpa used a razor strap. You see, the good news is God's anger was placed on Jesus on that cross. God's no longer angry. You know, so when Dad would come home, I'd make myself scarce, and I'd make sure I got done what I need to get done. Anyone else like that? Those dishes were not done first thing. They were done this morning before I came here. I still have problems of procrastination. So, and Jen would not be angry. No comparison there, okay? I'm just saying, me. I waited, the sink, But God's anger, it's gone. He's not angry. He's not angry anymore because Jesus bore his anger. And then on top of that, our sins are covered over. Our sins are covered over by his blood. We have no reason to hide. And I think that's later on in here. But so many people are like Adam and Eve. They're still like Adam and Eve. I can't tell you how important I believe that passage is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. God is saying in verse 8, God's saying, hey, where are you guys? Where are you guys? Where are they? They're hiding. They're hiding from God because they think God's ticked off and angry. They're hiding from God. And then did he know where they were? So finally he goes over to him. What's up, dude? Now this is the reverse revised translation. What's up, dude? And Adam basically says, I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. Is there any reason to be afraid anymore? God's wrath was put on Jesus. I was afraid because I was naked. The blood of Jesus Christ covers over my sin. And so I hid. Is there any need to hide anymore? So, we've got a choice. Believe me. Listen to me well. God is for freedom of choice. And that's not the way you think. I'm not talking politically. God has given all of us a free will. We are not robots. He's given all of us a free will. Here's door number one. You can continue sinning. You can do that. It's your choice. You can. The world is. You can. That's door number one. Here's door number two. Confession and forgiveness, which leads to intimacy. That's door number two. Confess our sins. We will be forgiven our sins. And then we can have intimacy with God. Or door number three. Wallow in false guilt and shame. There might be other doors, but those are the three that came to my mind. Which one you want? You want door number one? Just continue sinning? We all know where that leads. Eventually, rooster comes home. Door number two, confession and forgiveness, which leads to intimacy. Or door number three, wallow in false guilt and shame. And we're back to isolation and hiding from God and others. Genesis 3:10. Green means it's not in the notes. Personally, I choose door number two. I try and choose that every day, confession and forgiveness. In fact, I have to do it multiple times a day. And my question is, how about you? This past week, which did you choose? Now, keep in your mind, keep context in mind. Hey, the week before Passover, they were hailing him King of the Jews. Praise the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Throwing their coats down, praising Jesus. 1 week later, what are they screaming? Crucify him, crucify him. And now we're 1 week later, and what did we do throughout the week? As one of our former associate pastors here, Ken Kelly, he might say, we make good Israelites. I know I do. I'd make a good disciple, clueless, sticking my foot in my mouth pretty regularly. I'd make a good Peter. Don't you think? Some of you are grinning. Do you agree? But how about you? It's easy to say, oh, I'd have done it different. Are we doing it any different now? Jesus died to set us free. We have a choice. We really do have a choice. That's part of being created in the image of God. He gave us a choice. I think we need to consider the choices that we make every day. So I'm just going to have a time of silent prayer. I'm going to lead in prayer and then some silent prayer. If you're uncomfortable with the silence, I apologize, but I think silence is important. Be still and know that I am God. We're just creating a little bit of space for God to say whatever he wants to each one of us. It's all the silence is about. If you've got a kid that's antsy or it's okay. If someone makes noise, someone sneezes. I remember as a kid, everything was funny in church. You remember that? Man, I couldn't stop laughing in church. It was the dumbest thing, but I couldn't stop laughing. If you start laughing, it's okay, all right? It's okay. Just don't worry. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to come and speak and do whatever he chooses, all right? It's all good. He's our Abba Father. You're not only loved, you're delighted in, you're liked. And he's here. So let's just allow him to meet us. Each one of us. Dear Dad in heaven, I thank you. And some of you were those. Thank you for the word were. And thank you for the but. But you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please forgive me when I make other people's sins bigger than my sins. That's what the Pharisees did. Please forgive me for being just like the Pharisees, being a hypocrite. please be merciful to me, a sinner. Thank you, Jesus, that you are my advocate. You're sitting at the right hand of the Father, defending me even right now. Jesus, you said it's to your benefit that I go so that the Holy Spirit would come. You have been here, Holy Spirit. You are here, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would continue to open the eyes of my heart, of our hearts, and in these moments of silence, you would do whatever you choose, because you are God. Help us to be still and just hear your voice. We're not limiting you to this time. You can speak to us anytime, anywhere. But we just create this quietness for you, just in case you have something you want to say to each one of us. And so, may your kingdom continue to come. Come upon each one of us, however you choose.